The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Hey, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and 10 p.m. where I'm sitting here in Northeast Minneapolis. I am Jim Peters, and you are watching Jim Peters at Night. This is episode number 92. So I got to tell you, I just found out about a half an hour before we went on the air here that Facebook has banned us. What the fuck? And, of course, they didn't give me any reason, you know. Now, I can appeal the decision. Yeah. You know, here's the reason they gave me. They said, our technology has determined that you have violated our terms of service. And then it says, click here for more information. And I click there, and it says, our technology has determined that you have violated our terms of service. That's what it says. Yeah. I know how this works. Yeah, I'm conservative, and I'm saying stuff that the social justice warriors over there don't like. So we're not on Facebook tonight, and there's a good possibility we won't be on Facebook ever. And I have to tell you, even if they restore our account, I'm going to just can it. I can't stand this. This is bullshit. This is complete utter bullshit. They don't want me saying, me and a whole bunch of other people, thousands of people like me, they don't want us saying what we want to say. Yeah, because apparently I'm dirty or evil or something. I'm a Trump supporter or, you know, who the fuck knows? It's just bullshit. It's complete utter bullshit. And the amazing thing is, I always figured we've been on 7 platforms since we started. I always figured it would be YouTube that would ban us first. I was waiting for that. This surprised me. I got to admit it did. So well, we're not on Facebook tonight and maybe ever. So now the interesting thing is last night I made an announcement at the top of the show. We weren't on Twitch and that turned out just to be a glitch. They were having a problem or whatever it was. Their what's called their API, which is what we use to connect to their network, wasn't working. So whatever. So that happened last night, but we're fine now on them. You know, I checked into that this afternoon. I want to make sure that it wasn't us. But yeah, so yeah, we're not on Facebook. There you go. That's what you want to know. Now, okay, tonight. Now, this is really interesting. And I don't know, this occurred to me. I posted promo videos on 4 of our platforms this afternoon regarding this show. And I don't know if that triggered what happened on Facebook a few hours ago. I don't know. But our guest tonight is Dr. Linda Salvin. She is a metaphysical clinician and a psychic. Now, I've also said in some of the promos for the shows that she's a medical doctor. I think I'm wrong about that. We'll talk to her about it. That I think she has a PhD and not an MD. But she's coming on the show. She's a psychic. She does this for a living. She's done it forever. We're going to talk to her about her life and experiences. She's had apparently more than one near-death experience. Want to ask her about that. And she's going to do a reading of me, and believe it or not, a reading of all of you who call in. I'll give you the instructions to call in a second. You can call in either with your webcam via video, or you can just call in on the phone. She'll do that too. I asked her earlier this week, I said, does it matter? You have to see the reading recipients. And she said, no. She said she does. She can do it over the phone. So you can call in too. So how do you do that? Okay, so I'll tell you how you do that. You see these numbers on the bottom of the screen here? Okay, to call in with your camera, this is according to Talkers Magazine, we are the first talk show in America to take video phone calls. You can call in with your camera. You go to this URL right here, jimatnight.com/call with a browser and whatever device you're in. Actually, you have to use Google Chrome unless you're on an Apple iOS device, which would be either iPhone or iPad. Then the Safari works. Fine. But yeah, and any other, including if you're on a Mac desktop, you still have to use Google Chrome. Most people already have Google Chrome installed. Either they did it themselves or their manufacturer did it or whatever. So you take your Google Chrome browser to that URL, gymandnight.com/call. You can, if you go to gymandnight.com, you can reach it. It's call-in thing at the top menu. There's a button at the top of that page. You press that button page. You go to a preview screen. You check your camera and mic. And when you're ready, you click join and you're in the queue. It's as simple as pie. And I keep saying this and saying this, but I've asked every single person who's called in, how easy was it? It's like, oh, David, our longtime caller from San Francisco, he said it was harder to find the website than it was to call in. And most people said it's easier than a FaceTime call. And it's way easier than getting on Zoom, not even close. So, you know, if you want to call in with your camera, I invite you to do so. You can do so. Now, if you don't want to do that, also, there's a way to mute your camera on that call-in thing. But if you're not going to use your camera, I suggest you call in with your phone. That's this number right here, 563-999-3435. You call in with your phone. That goes through Blog Talk Radio. We're live on Blog Talk Radio right now, and we're live on the six other, it used to be seven, not Facebook anymore, apparently, on the six other platforms we're on. We're live there, too. So if you we get calls from Blog Talk Radio because of their directory. They have a simple directory that lists everything that's going on that's live, and we're under the news and current events category. And so it's easy to find a live show. And so very easy. And we've already been getting a lot of calls from that. So, but if you want, you don't have to be on Blog Talk Radio to do this. You can just use that telephone number, 563-999-3435. If you want to text into the show, Linda can't do a reading off your text, but if you want to text in, just comment on the proceedings. It's this number right here, 408-458-5088. And we get the text in real time. If you're on one of the platforms we're on video, I just want to remind you that you can chat with the people on that platform, but not of people watching on other platforms, which is the reason I don't bother. You know, I know that most of the people that do what I do read these chat things. It's fucking boring. It's like, am I just like a stupid adult? Is that my problem? You know, I watched a guy doing a sports show on Twitch this afternoon. You know, he's actually pretty good, I gotta say. He did a good job. But he's still talking about what's going on in the chat. Who the fuck cares? I mean, it's not. And the thing is, I care about what you think, but I want you to tell me. That's the thing, you know? It's like, you want to text in, you want to call in. Last night we had a great conversation with a caller named Think, who called in. I just happened to mention, it was almost an offhand comment about my feelings about climate change, and he called in about that. That was not the topic of the conversation at the time. We still had a great discussion, and I want to apologize. Well, I don't need to apologize to him, but our Blog Talk Radio connection futzed out at about the 56-minute mark. Blog Talk Media Radio missed the last 15 minutes of our show. But, you know, it's technology, and I said this before last night, and it's really true. It's kind of putting the shawls, like kind of like launching a rocket. I mean, Christ. I mean, we're all on these platforms, you know, all everything has to work together. I can't – we got on Blog Talk Radio the first – on February 1st, and it was really quite a logistical endeavor to incorporate it into the rest of our system, especially because it's the only place we're live where you can't see us. So there's that. But, you know, you don't know about my problems. You don't. Now, Linda, she's going to do – I'm going to be the first person she's going to do a reading to. So she'll tell you about our problems. She'll tell you. Okay. So – that's what we got here going on tonight. So you got all that. Tomorrow, Jeff Meyer, CEO and publisher of Kong News, it's his monthly visit with us. We'll talk to him about what's on the news. There's a lot of news now between Linda coming tonight and also last night. Think calls in and we had a nice conversation with him. Basically, I keep this really loose, folks. I don't know if you figured this out, if you watched this before. I got a little outline here. I deviated off it constantly. So, you know, Jeff's coming on tomorrow night. We have a shitload of news to talk about. I haven't talked about that. I'm not going to get a chance to talk about either tonight, and we didn't last night. So it's all pretty relative stuff. He's on tomorrow night. Thursday, we're doing a panel after the State of the Union. It's basically our month in review panel. It's Don Zorro, Tim Conaway, and Larry Newman. They're going to be joining me on Thursday, and that starts right after the State of the Union is done, which should be about 10 p.m. Eastern. So we're going to be going on about an hour earlier than we normally do on Thursday night. And you don't need to listen to Fox News. You know, okay, you know, so it's Super Tuesday tonight. I don't have to tell you that. So I'm not going to talk about that much because everyone knows what's going to happen. It's already happening. I was looking at the news about 45 minutes before we came on. Martha McCallum is 60 years old, and God damn it, she looks good. You know, I'm 68, and when I was 60, I looked like shit. And she's rocking on TV. It's like, holy God, that's fantastic. You know, Fox News is running one of these, what I call them, a CNN-type panel. So they got like 9 people there. I just think this is stupid. It's like, you know, I don't know why CNN does this. I don't know what producer at CNN came to the conclusion this was a good idea. Let me tell you something. It's not. It's not a good idea. You don't want 9 people in a room. And then Anderson's tossing all the, what do you think? Oh, shut the fuck up. It's just crap. Bad TV. And then they wonder why no one's watching. God, I wonder why. Holy shit. I know I sound like the old guy tonight, like, get off my lawn. But the thing is, seriously, doesn't anybody ever learn anything? You know, your ratings are in the toilet, and I can't go on about how bad they really are. If I tell you, if you think they're bad, they're actually worse than that. They're lucky if they're drawing 500,000 people in prime time. And like I said previously, on cable television, anything under 1 million people is basically zero. For all practical purposes, statistically, nobody's watching. Nobody watches CNN. And their ratings are still going down. Still. I mean, every single month. It's mind-boggling. And they don't make any changes. They had a 9-person panel there, and Anderson has said, well, what do you think? Oh, shit. What a bunch of crap. Really. And, geez, I wonder why I'm not watching. Oh, all right. So I got that off my chest. Okay. So, yeah. So we got the State of the Union panel on Thursday. Next Tuesday, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell's coming on. Now, she comes on normally. She's part of the dynamic duo with Jeff Meyer that comes on around the middle of the month. I asked her to come on next Tuesday because she wrote a column in Red State specifically on nutrition. And it's really, really telling. And also it's very candid because she talks about her own health problems and how eating better led to resolution of a lot of those issues and how the government's full of shit. Once again, are you surprised? The government is full of crap. You know, who would have known that? And she's talking specifically about the food pyramid and all these recommendations and all this stuff. This, you know, the problem with the government is they're so far behind regular science. That's the problem. They've been pushing this food pyramid thing for like 40 freaking years. You know, yeah, it's like it doesn't really make any sense anymore. And the one thing, I'll just give you a teaser. The one thing that Jennifer said that really struck me, because I've argued with people about this, was about the fact she came to the conclusion that she needed way more protein in her diet than doctors recommend. And the real amazing thing is, and she'll talk about this, I assume, and that is for some reason, women are recommended way less protein than men are. And that's bullshit. That's just freaking bullshit. And I can't tell you, you know, I mean, I eat a lot of protein. I'm a red meat eater. I'm a chicken eater. I love, you know, I love to eat the animals, not my cat, but the rest of them. He better watch out at some point, though, too. So she's absolutely right. It's bogus. You know, so I asked her to come on specifically to talk about this. So she's coming on Tuesday. Wednesday, David Fromm, associate editor of hotair.com, he's coming on. He's been writing a whole bunch of really cool articles, basically on a daily basis for the last, like, 2 months about how freaking awful the mainstream press is. Now, he's part of the press, you know, and I mean, technically, I guess I am too. I mean, I've always said this, I'm not a journalist, and this is not, this program is not about journalism. It isn't. It's about my opinions. But, you know, he talks about, he's written constantly about how the mainstream media is basically gaslighting us, and they are. It's between the fact they want to toe the company line, which is a liberal line, and they can't admit they're wrong. They can't. which I've always said that's it's a hallmark of liberal personality. That I've thought about writing a book about this, and other people have done this too, but still I've still thought about doing this because I've come to the conclusion after 68 years of living and basically 50 years of being an adult that the difference between the political parties is not really political. It's personality wise. It's a genetic personality thing that people are either into one type of ideology or another based on their personality. And one of the hallmarks of liberal personality is that liberals cannot admit they're wrong. They can't. And they don't, you know? So anyway, so yeah, David Strom's coming up on next Wednesday. On Thursday the 19th, that's a week from this Thursday, Les Velez, the guy who is the founder of the Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support, he's joining us. He wrote a book called The Unknown Other, and it's mostly stories what the Organization of Paranormal Understanding and Support, or that's OPUS for short, what it is, it is basically... It hosts support groups for people who say they've been abducted by aliens. Now, you may laugh at that, and that's fine. You can do that, I suppose. But for some people, this is a very, very serious topic. And a lot of people have said, I've read most of his book now, a lot of people have said that OPUS is the only place they really found any relief or support. And so his book is about some of the more... bizarre stories that his clients at OPUS have told him and the people there, and some of them are pretty fucking weird, I gotta tell you. You know, now I want to point out that John Mack, who's the head of the psychiatry department at Harvard University, he started this is about 20 years ago, and I think he died about 10 years ago. He got killed in a car accident, I think in Paris it was, and he was in his early 70s. He started doing a research project on people who say they've been the victim of alien abductions to find out what was wrong with them. Because he just assumed that this topic was not real, that the actual abductions themselves were not real. So he wanted to find out, first of all, like, how many of them are hoaxing this, if they are, why, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. Well, after studying it for 2 years and talking about 400 people who said that they've been abducted, he came to the startling conclusion that this is actually happening. And he was almost disbarred from his profession for this. I mean, he came very close to getting kicked out of Harvard, and no tenured professor in the 400-year history of Harvard had ever been kicked out. And it wasn't for anything like malfeasance or doing anything wrong. They were going to kick him out because of his professional opinions. He came to the conclusion alien abduction is real, and that these people, either they were really being abducted or something was affecting them to make them think that they were really being abducted. He said he detected no psychosis and no hoaxing or lying among any of these people. So it's, and then you read these articles or these stories in Velez's book, and my God, I mean, it's some of it's the weirdest crap. It's just, you know, and then I think if you're going through this, it's like, well, different people handle it different ways, it appears. I mean, some people are just freaking petrified, and then some people kind of come to terms with it. And the weird thing is, and this has been in the lore of ufology for years, so that is people who say they've been abducted say they end up being continuously abducted over and over again. And it appears to run in families. That's the way this works. Now, there is a really interesting thing about this. I'm talking about a segue here. I'm segueing. On April 25th, I have booked Kathleen Martin as a guest. And she is Betty Hill's niece of the Betty and Barney Hill abduction scenario story from 1961, who are basically considered the first people that were ever documented to be abducted. Now, you know, that's highly questionable, although there was physical evidence involved here. There was also something that her friend, the late Stanton Friedman, who when he died in 2018, is probably arguably the most respected and well-known UFO researcher in the world. He was a nuclear physicist by training, so he had a very, very discerning eye. But he called it the smoking gun, and that is that Betty, and this did get some press, but still, according to Stan, and you have to, and I agree with him, you have to understand the import of this, and that is supposedly when Betty and Barney left that spacecraft, on the way out, she asked the aliens where they're from, and they showed her a map of a star system. Of course, it mean nothing to her, but she's under hypnosis. She was able to redraw it. She remembered it. And about 20 years later, a woman named Marjorie Fish, who was an astronomy teacher somewhere, I can't remember where, I think in 2006 or something like that, I'm getting my dates confused. But anyway, a long time after that, her drawing was published, and Fish decided to figure out where the hell this was. So it took her like months, and she finally realized it was the star system Zeta Reticuli, 37 light years from Earth. But that's not the really weird thing. So this abduction happened to Betty Hill in 1961. This was made public in 1965. The Hills never wanted any publicity for this. They just went to a psychiatrist because they were having severe mental anguish issues. That psychiatrist decided to put them under hypnosis. Both these stories came out. The story, they were hypnotized separately, but both the stories were virtually identical. Somebody in that psychiatrist's office leaked the story to the Boston newspaper, and it blew up. It basically went from it was the 1960s version of something going viral. So that map was published in 1965. And whatever it was, 2006, this Marjorie Fish woman realizes it's the Zeta Reticuli star system. But the Zeta Reticuli star system was not known in 1965. It wasn't until about 20 years later that we discovered it. So like Stan Friedman said, either Betty Hill, a suburban housewife, was the only person on the planet, the only person on the entire planet Earth who knew where Zeta Reticuli was, or her story is legit, you know. And she was not an astronomer. She didn't know shit, frankly. She didn't know anything about space, nothing. She knew nothing, but she knew where Zeta Reticuli was. Well, that's nuts. And, you know, Stan Friedman said, as far as he was concerned, that proved the alien abduction phenomena. And I would have a tendency to agree. I don't know if all these people are actually abducted, but based on what I know, I think the Hills were, and we're going to talk to Kathleen Martin about that. Now, she ended up, she was 16, if I'm right, when this happened to Betty and Barney. And she ended up basically becoming, because of this, a professional UFO researcher. That happened to her. That's what she's been doing. And she's written numerous books. She's done a lot of research. She wrote several books with Stan Friedman, which I own them, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. And we're going to have a fantastic conversation. That's going to be on April 25th, next month. So Dr. Linda Salvin is here. Before I even put her on, I want to encourage you to call up. You can call up and you can stay in the queue, either of audio or video. Either one doesn't matter. Once again, the call-in numbers are, to call them with your video, you go to gematnight.com/call in your browser. To call them on your phone, it's 563-999-3435. I'm going to play the 20-second bumper thing here that makes me look really, really professional, and we're going to put Dr. Salvin on. Here we go. Dr. Salvin, hello. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. May I ask first, where are you?
Los Angeles. Where are you?
I'm in Minneapolis. Okay. I used to live in Los Angeles. I have a love-hate relationship with the city. How about you?
I'm born and raised, so I have the same thing. It's changed tremendously over the last 65, 70 years.
Man, it has, hasn't it? It's changed just the last 20, 30 years. You know?
Yeah, the last 15.
Yeah.
Well, after the earthquake is when it really started to go down in 94. So we're looking at 30 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. First question. First of all, I have to ask you this. You are not a medical doctor, correct? Because
no,
well,
I'm a PhD.
You're a PhD, right. Right. Because
I have a master's in epidemiology, which is study of epidemics.
And what is a metaphysical clinician?
I'm very clinical as far as the way I diagnose people's situations, but because I have a PhD in metaphysics, which is a combination of spirituality and psychology, I treat people holistically with nutritional products, or I do candle magic with my line called Wicks of Wisdom. I'm also a psychic and a healer. So rather than just being called a psychic or a healer, because of the metaphysics, actually an MD, who I know, gave me that title to kind of make me stand out rather than just being like a psychic. I just don't have like an office on the boulevard because there's so many misconceptions. I'm educated and then scientific, but I'm very spiritual. So we put it all together. And
there are. All right. So how do you figure out you're a psychic? When did this happen?
Oh gosh. I was in a commercial airline plane crash 43 years ago, February 17th, 1981.
How old were you, may I ask?
27. Uh-huh. 27. I'm still 70. It's 43 years. Yeah.
And what happened to most of the people on board?
We all survived. I tried to interview a lot of them. They didn't want to hear about it because of the trauma and the stress. I went through a lot back in the 80s with that. I still have all of the – back then it was microfiche. We didn't have the computers like
yeah,
we do today.
Right, right.
But as I came down the ramp, I had an out-of-body experience. I became very psychic, and I was 50 feet out of my body for 4 months. Jim, and 5'8" on the right. We didn't have Google back
then.
Hold
it. Just say, did you say you were out of your body for 4 months?
Out of body experience, yeah, but I didn't integrate and come back into my body wholly for about 6 years.
So you're kind of like a bird in the sense you're looking at yourself and you're looking out at the same time, right?
Yeah, I call it a cyclops.
Cyclops, yeah.
Well, I say, yeah. Oh. Nobody's ever heard of it, but I walked around. My sister, everybody thought I was nuts. I said, I'm out of my body. I'm hearing voices. I don't feel right, but I would be like this energy or light. I don't know how to define it. Cause I've never had it again, but it was like 50 feet out of my body. When the plane crashed, I ran on the field and panned, and I saw things around me, and then all of a sudden, I noticed that the plane was on its belly on fire and cracked in half. I had a premonition the plane was going to crack in half about an hour and a half before takeoff, not knowing that was my first premonition. So it all played out, and it changed my life that day.
God, Linda, it's mind-blowing. I mean, Jesus, it is. Did you – all right. I'm sorry. I'm really curious about this. And
well,
this is
fine. That's why I'm here.
This is a talk show. This is what we do. So
–
all right, so you're in the airport, and when does it actually hit you? It's like this a voice in your head says the plane's going to crash?
No, it's if I, you know, when you're in the terminal and you're at the coffee shop and you see the plane parked right there out the window,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So my partner and I was doing environmental health and safety at the time with an insurance company. We're at a hospital checking ethylene oxide, which is the chemicals used to sterilize equipment for surgery, and we told the people, the staff, don't touch the autoclave because of our treatments. And of course somebody did. So we went back to the airport early because we were invalidated, and we were sitting, my partner had pie and I'm sitting there with coffee, and I just looked over. I said, doesn't it look like it could crack there? Because Jim, I had a vision of a fuselage or an exhaust settlement line.
Hold it. Say, you had a feeling of what? What was that?
I had a vision.
Yeah.
Of like a fuselage or an exhaust settlement on the body of the plane. And I said, doesn't that look like it can crack there? And that's where it cracked in half an hour and a half later when we crashed.
I assume your partner did not see this, or there's nothing to see?
People just thought I was tired because we'd had a long day.
Right, right. So I'm assuming when you say you saw something, it wasn't actually visual.
No, it was visual.
Oh, it was.
I saw like a black line. Let's just call it like a black line. Like I had a vision of a fuselage or something. I saw a crack. I said, doesn't it look like it can crack there? But what I saw, he did not see.
Yeah.
He had a vision of a crack. And
right.
When we crash landed to avoid collision with another plane taking off on the same runway, which obviously you can't do. The probability of all of us surviving back then was 2 billion to 1. It was in the New York Times, LA Times, February 17th, 1981. We avoided collision with another plane taking off. We lost the landing gear. that was stripped, an engine fell off, and then it cracked in half when we crashed.
And nobody died at all.
No, it's called the Miracle Flight.
Yeah, that's amazing. Especially years ago. I mean, nowadays, way more people survive airplane crashes. But then...
Yeah, that was still new back then, 1981. It's never easy. And even today, I fly with white knuckles. I know the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, is not going to put me through another one. But the panic comes up. The PTSD.
So, afterwards, you're walking around and you were simultaneously looking out of your eyes and looking at the world from above. Now, I've done a lot of reading about this, Linda. I've never heard of this phenomenon before. Have you ever heard of anybody else who has had this?
Other than I'm called what's known as a walk-in. It was the walk-in experience. Are you familiar with the walk-in?
No.
Yeah. It's when one soul's leaving and another comes in, and I didn't understand it either. Somebody told me to go to a psychic like a month after the accident because I was confused. And her back was to me, this woman. I'd been to one other psychic, and I didn't believe in psychics back then. She goes, well, you're a walk-in. I said, what's a walk-in? She said, it's when you're close to death and another soul takes over from a trauma. I said, I was just in a plane crash. So she gave me a book by Ruth Montgomery that was published in the 70s, late 70s, called Strangers Among Us. It explained everything. She turned around, introduced herself to me, and she helped me understand what happened. She says, whoever entered you is on a slant and is psychic. I said, I'm not psychic. Well, here I am 43 years later. I'm known around the world as a psychic.
So when this happens, does that mean that your original soul has vacated your body?
Correct. Yeah.
All right,
it's a whole different feeling of memory. Yeah.
I have to run something by you. I have a friend of mine who has a very interesting theory. His theory is that he thinks that sometimes people's souls die in their bodies before their bodies die. Is there anything to that?
I don't think the body dies. I think something internally. I think he's on the right path, that we go through change, we go through transformation, we go through evolution, we go through an awakening. Some people call it rebirthing, the near death. There's a lot of different terms that can be used. And it also, Jim, depends on, I believe, because I've talked to thousands of people on my own shows over the last 30 years in interviews and reading books and listening to people. I think everybody's experience is different. But when you come across another walk-in, they know what I'm talking about. And I just spoke to somebody on Facebook about 2 weeks ago. She said, you're a walk-in. She knew. She came right to me. She knew because she's familiar with them. And the 6 years of integration from the point of the accident till I finally started to feel like I had a purpose or I could get up in the day and get out in the world took a long time for me to integrate and put it back together, but I was never who I was getting on that first plane in San Jose, California, is where we flew to John Wayne Airport in Orange County.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we crashed. It's online. You can read it. Flight 336, Air California. They don't exist anymore, obviously. But it was I was stunned, shocked. And I remember when somebody found me on the playing field. We were actually on the grass. We were off the runway. And somebody asked if they could help me get to the paramedic station. And when they asked what was wrong, I said, my neck hurts, my back hurts, my knee, and I'm split in half. Then they said, gurney. But I said, I was split in half. I couldn't describe this sensation. But through time, I realized I became very psychic, helping people. Ended up with, I ran from it for 12 years. Ended up on Psychic Friends Network with Dionne Warwick when that first started in 1992. And then I was offered my own show in 1994 on FM radio. And here we are 30 years later.
So when you say you fought it, like...
I denied it.
Yeah, I understand. So how did you end up not fighting it? Did people start coming to you or what happened?
I had to start admitting that I had this gift, that I could see and predict things. It started to bubble up inside where, you know, if you're keeping a secret or you're lying and you're trying to pretend you're somebody you're not, after a while, you just can't. You just got to get it out. So I find people would mock me, make fun of me. I remember, I think, my 10-year high school reunion, they thought I was nuts. Now they've come back through the years. Oh, my God, you've done so well. Because other people woke up. I think I was at the forefront of this because in the 80s, the holistic spiritual movement was just starting, like what the past life.
Right.
And, you know, people were just starting to tap into that. Now everybody's online. Everybody's a psychic. Everybody's a medium. Everybody's a something, right?
Right.
But they're not.
Right. All right. I'm going to ask you some specific questions here. When you meet people, can you see their souls or their aura or that sort of thing? Does that happen to you?
I can tell negative versus positive almost immediately. And if I am being spiritually attacked, I guess is the way to say it, I get nasty or I get very uptight very quickly because it's a defense, almost like my spirit guides or angels or whatever you want to call this thing we live with protects me. Or if somebody comes back and they're real toxic, I'll get nasty or bitchy. But if I know you're pure or you're kind or I can trust you, I'm not saying anybody's perfect because nobody's perfect.
No. Well, except right. Donald Trump.
I can feel safe for today's voting.
I made a joke.
We can talk about that off the air, I think.
Yeah, we can. I know.
I could probably tell you something you didn't know that I just read in a book. But I can usually, I'm naive and I'm vulnerable and I'm sensitive. And a lot of times I just sort of like float. But then, case in point, I was at a friend of mine passed away in November and I was asked to give the eulogy, a very famous blues rock, it was George Brown from Cool and the Gang. He was one of my clients, became a friend. His wife asked me to lead the eulogy. And at the after party or dinner or whatever, I was at a table with several people I didn't know. And I felt like this is not my village. You know, you just kind of feel uncomfortable. But I wanted to be with these people over there at that table at the other end of the patio that I had already established a rapport with and I felt great with. But I knew I was in the wrong section, but I couldn't move and it was uncomfortable. So yeah, I vibe, I can feel. And if I started talking, oh, what do you think about this? I said, I'm not working tonight. I'm here to be of service, you know. And then there's others that get it, like, don't try to pick my brain now. And others, I'll just blab if they want to hear it. It depends. I can feel it like you can. We all have intuition, but we're not all psychic. That's where it gets confusing with people. But I can tell hot, cold, right, wrong. Yeah. And if I meet somebody, if I get like a cold vibe or a feeling on,
excuse me.
Okay, so you're sneezing on the truth, Jim. You're sneezing on the truth.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that good?
Yeah, it's positive. Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
If I'm on the phone with somebody, the dog starts barking or the cat meows or a bird starts chirping, they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, it happens all the time.
Oh, that's
the frequency. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you just sneeze on the truth.
So I'll tell you, Linda, you know why I'm doing this? Is because all my life I've gone to restaurants and inevitably the waitress sits down and tells me her life story.
Okay.
It happens.
You're comfortable. That's when you have light. When you're at the light, a lot of people will dump all their stuff on you because they don't feel threatened. They feel comfortable. They feel loving. I'll bet your dogs and cats come up and love you. And
yeah.
Oh, he usually barks. And then they start licking your hands because you have a spiritual side that a lot of people are suppressed, or today's word is woke or not woke. Yeah.
All right. I have another question. So do you describe your incident that happened on the airplane? Was that a near death experience or?
It was.
Okay, so did you have the classic tunnel?
Yes,
and
I did. No, I'll tell you what happened. I had the life review. I had the life review. I was sitting between two men. My partner was on the left, and a stranger was on my right. We're in the second row. So I was in the middle seat. My father always told me when I was a kid, always sit in the back of the plane because it's the last to go down if you ever crash. So I always thought about that. And then here we got tickets up front. I panicked. I couldn't tell my boss at the time. I was going to panic because my dad said something.
Yeah.
But we crashed because I sat up front. But I didn't have the white light until I totaled the car 4 years later. Now, here's the whole thing. I was given a message sliding down the ramp of the plane. This loud voice came to me and I had this whoosh, whoosh feeling, which is when I was out of my body.
Uh-huh.
And I was given a message that I don't repeat. And then a year later, I was hit by a fire truck and had a second out-of-body near death. And then the 1984, I totaled a car, had the white light experience, and I was given the choice to live or die. They said, you can come with us now or stay and do, and I was given a message. And
Were you badly hurt in that crash? Physically?
I actually hurt somebody worse. The woman, I T-boned somebody on a rainy night. All the lights were out, and I thought that I had the right of way because of where we were, and usually the person on the right has to ride away, but I think we met in the intersection.
Uh-huh.
But the woman, they were driving a Pinto. I was in a Camaro back in 84, and she ended up with a broken hip. But I was taken to UCLA emergency, and I was there, I think, a day or two. But I was pretty spaced out and overwhelmed. And when the paramedics came to get me out of my car, I just said, they want me off the planet. They want me off the planet because a plane crash, a fire truck, and this. I mean, who does that? Nobody survives.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Okay, hold it. Just saying. Who wants you off the planet?
Whatever's out on the other side that you can't see, the spiritual side.
Well, and you,
I am in touch with the other side in a way the average human being will never
But understand. You said that you were given a choice, right?
Yes. Yes,
and,
I heard a voice.
And did you choose life, I assume? Obviously, you're not talking. Otherwise, I'm not talking to you. So, right?
No, it's a ghost.
Right.
I'm really an AI image.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like terrible. It's
you
terrible.
Don't know.
Yeah. Look at us. We're kind of cute.
You should do this more often, Jim. I'll meet you every Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday night.
Okay, so I kind of lost my train of thought there. All right, but you know,
the white light, something. Here's what happened. I totaled the car. I thought, oh God, I just want to go home. And as I was spinning out, you might get chills again, or you might sneeze. A white beam went from the ceiling of my head through the from the top of my head to the ceiling of the car and into whatever we call the heavens. And the same voice that spoke to me 4 years earlier when I slid down the ramp from the plane crash, a Boeing 737. Now I'm in a car accident. And the same voice that said, don't do this, do, and I was given a message. And now it says, you can come with this now or stay and do. And I was given a message. When the paramedics got me out of the car, I just said, they want me off the planet. They want me off the planet. I kept hearing things and going to this out-of-body psychic level. I didn't know what it was. There was no one to talk to back then.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Can you assign a gender to this voice?
No.
No.
It just is.
Right.
There's no male or female. I think it's just energy. I would say it's more male. I think I have male guardian angels. And one woman actually said it was my grandfather. He had committed suicide when I was 2 and a half. They said my grandfather was watching over me back then. It could have been.
All right. Let's talk about the other side a little bit. And speaking of that, let's talk about, is there a, how do I put this? Is there a negative connotation to suicide?
I have three in my family. So I grew
I hope
up in
I'm not bringing up something
that's
painful.
No, I talk about it all the time.
Okay,
I've learned. I'm not desensitive or desensitized, but I grew up with a lot of the pain. My grandpa committed suicide. His brother committed suicide. Then their son, my uncle, my mom's brother, committed suicide. So her uncle, her father, and her brother. So I went through all of that. When I have channeled, here's another thing that happened. Not only did I go through those weird accidents, in 1991, I had emergency surgery and I became a healer. And in 1996, from healing so many people, I had 100 tumors removed from my hips and thighs to get rid of all the tumors that I got from healing people and taking on their energy. But I became a medium. So for 22 years, I channeled the other side, where like a little white light or beam would open up on the right side of my head and I'd go into this other dimension and I would start channeling the dead people. Suicides included.
All right, hold on. Before you go on, I want to get our terms straight here. So what were you before you were a medium?
I was a reader, a psychic, and a healer.
Okay, so
mediumship is yet different.
Right. That's why. What is the difference?
The mediumship is connecting with the spirit from the other dimension who've already passed on. Dogs, cats, people, relatives, loved ones.
All right. And the psychic,
reads... Clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, giving readings, predictions, seeing the future, calming people down, getting them in the moment versus the past, or getting them on the path for career if it's the right soulmate or whatever.
Right.
Life.
So if I'm going to re-say this. So you're saying psychic is basically dealing with living people and medium is dealing with people beyond.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And getting messages from beyond. That
all right.
People want to hear.
Now, this sounds completely off topic, but you just mentioned this. I do want to ask you about this. I used to be a professional musician. I've come to the conclusion that the primary definition or component to artistic talent is being in the moment, and not everybody can do it.
I believe you're right, because you have to get the rhythm and the tempo, and you've got to be able to hear things, and you've got to be able to move. I'm a guitar player. I've been playing guitar for 60 years, but I didn't go professionally, although I was offered two career deals along the way after the accident, but I didn't take it. But I believe music is channeled through people, because, you know, what instrument did you play? Were you more string?
Believe it or not, I was an orchestra conductor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a client who's a conductor. I have always wanted to know, when you guys are
doing
this, and you've got the brass and the strings, and you've got the drums, and you've got the, you know, you got everything going on with like 15, 30 people, but you're like this. Are you keeping tempo? You're helping them see where they are on their chart. What is it that you're actually creating? Because that's energy, right? And they're watching, but they're reading their notes, and they're playing or tooting or whatever, and yet it comes out so beautiful. That comes from past lives, Jim.
There's two components to that, Linda. The first component is technical, and that is, people ask me this all the time. If you're a good conductor, you go to a professional orchestra, the conductor's not beating in time with the music. And that's because on a purely technical level, to lead the orchestra, you have to be ahead of them. It's just like logic, you know? So I'm usually about a half a beat ahead of the orchestra.
You have to anticipate what's
right.
going on.
Right, so that the orchestra can anticipate what's going to happen, right. But the other side to that, when you're talking about, like, how do you keep all that together, that's geek magic.
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's channeled. You leave your body, because when you watch an actor on stage in live theater, or a musician, like when they're closing their eyes, they're bouncing to the beat, and their guitar is going, or the French horn, or somebody on the bass, or the cello, they're gone, because the music is spirit flowing through people, and it comes from past lives. You don't just wake up and think, okay, I'm a little boy, I'm a little girl, and I'm going to grow up and become a pianist. No, it's a past life energy that's come through again in this incarnation, and we get to live it out. You lived your dream, but now you're ascending more spiritually, so you've got more to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. I do. I do want to mention the one thing I want about the conducting thing that's really amazing is that I have seen on more than one occasion, I've seen all 14 people in a violin section make the exact same non-obvious mistake at the same time. It's like they're playing together, but they're playing wrong. They're playing wrong together.
Because they're all so connected.
Yes, that's right. We're all so connected. That's like, it's not on the music. And not only that, it's like it's not an obvious thing either, but they'll all do it. It's like at the same time. It's astonishing. It really is.
Does it ruin the piece, or do you guys just sort of like go through it and get and bypass it and keep going?
It depends. It depends. Yeah. You know, sometimes I let it go, sometimes I don't. But to me, the orchestra conducting and the whole idea of an orchestra playing together is proof positive that humans are psychically connected. I mean,
yes,
you couldn't do it with any consistency if you weren't. That's the way I look at that.
No, you can't, and you've got to have the right leader, and that's where you came in to tie it all together. It's like a bouquet of flowers. You've got, you know, the daisies and the roses and the tulip and the this and the that, and all of a sudden you put them all together and you make a bouquet. You bring all these different musicians that have different talents and different instruments together, and the strings over here and the horns over here and the percussions are back there and blah, 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 but all of a sudden it's magic.
Yeah.
You've done it in past lives. That's why you did it again. I get that you were in England and in Italy in past lives. So you probably have a lot of that kind of Celtic and Roman kind of energy inside you.
Well, Roman for sure. Yeah. I'm half Romanian by birth.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know, you know, my wife makes fun of me, but it's really true. If you're Romanian, you're Italian.
It's like, or whatever. Yeah. It could be. But that's where you're more sensitive. The Romanian culture is very, very psychic, very true.
I know. I went to Rome when I was 10 years old. I've been back many times, but I remember standing on the edge of the Roman Forum, and I'm thinking, I'm home. It's like, I remember that. Distinctly.
You're going to have past life recall, almost like a deja vu. I did too when I went to Rome in 77, and the Colosseum was behind me, and I was right in front of I was on my way to the fountain. And all of a sudden, I was just out of graduate school, so I was 23, and I felt this surge of energy. Like, I've been here before, but that was long before I got into all this stuff. You know, I didn't understand it, but you started to recognize it at 10, like, this feels familiar. And a lot of people are just now at this point in time going, well, that's a deja vu. Maybe that is a past life recall. Maybe I have been here before, because people don't want to hear past lives, reincarnation. They think you're wacko. It's all real.
Yeah.
Now, Crosby, Stills, and Nash thing, we've all been here before.
All right. I have another question. Okay. So you were talking about being a medium and talking about the other side. So as far as you can tell, what's going on over there? I mean, let me put it this way, what's the purpose of this?
Of life to die?
Yeah, yeah. What's the purpose?
Right. So the purpose, we get here, as soon as we are born, we're living and we're on our way to death, right?
Yeah.
We get born, we live, we die, and we go through it again and we reincarnate. On the other side, there are different categories or levels or like classes, or it's like if you're in grammar school, high school, college, it's like steps. So the higher you evolve in spiritual practice in this incarnation, which I have discovered over 30 plus years, the higher you're going to ascend when it's your time to die, and you won't be as afraid. Then you're received by people you've known, as well as you could have guardian angels from 8 generations past that you've never met that were relatives that say, I'm going to be Jim's guardian angel. Then you might have a stranger that's already deceased, but they watch over you because they, on the other side, the entities, not the angels, but people who have lived before us will choose this. I have also learned that the children under 5, 8 years old who die of cancer or an accident or cut one had a beating, was beat to death, when I would bring them in, they then act as the gatekeeper for their children to bring them in comfort. There's my dogs are there, my mom is there, my aunts, my grandparents, friends. I've lost I don't know how many personal friends and musicians. So there's a whole band in the sky. When people joke about it, it's real. They still have their instruments. They're still eating and partying and sex. There's just no body, but it's soul. It's all soul. Because I my book's coming out this year talking about it. And
I have to throw this out before you even go on. When that book comes out, you come back, okay?
I would love to.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, all right, so let me ask a question there too.
The testimonials of people I've channeled, their stories are coming out in the book to prove I'm wacky. It's real. I didn't believe it until it happened to me.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you caught this. I was talking about, in my introduction, I have Kathleen Martin coming on. She is the niece of Betty Hill. That's basically the first kind of acknowledged alien abduction, right, in 1961, about the fact that now I'm losing my train of thought because I'm 68 years old and somebody should take me behind that shed and just shoot me. All right, what am I thinking?
Just keep going, dude. It's a weird ride.
It is, isn't it? I know. I know. I know. Oh, so I was bringing up the fact that I tell you what, Linda, hold on. Let's just move on. Here's my theory. Okay. Here's my theory. I'm wondering if the human race is actually not human. What I mean is that if you were setting up a civilization someplace and you were an ethereal being and you did not have to worry about bodies, you'd send all your souls to this planet to have them all work their bullshit out before you actually retrieve them on the back. Wouldn't you? Is that what's going on here?
I think this is hell.
Oh, okay.
I think this is the hell, and we come back time and time again to get it right. I had a vision or a message or something, an awakening back right after the plane crash when all this psychic stuff started happening. I realized, this is hell, but it's not that bad. But why in the Lord's Prayer does it say on earth as it is in heaven? Because we're trying to bring what we know in heaven, which is peace and balance and harmony and goodness, back to earth. Right now we're in the midst of a huge spiritual civil war. It's the worst it's ever been in 5, 6 generations. It's the worst.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse. And we're not done. And then after the elections, let's not go there. It's going to change again. And it's going to go through 2030 until that portal. We're only halfway through this portal of schmutz.
Well, hey, and if you don't want to answer this, I totally understand, but what are your views on Christianity per se? Does it address a lot of things? I mean, here's my thing. I'm not, I was raised as a Christian. I do not consider myself a Christian anymore, even though I do consider myself a very religious person. And well, my thing is, I'm just going to say this. I don't understand most of the religions on the earth, not just Christianity. They need a human medium, and I don't understand why you need that. I don't. That's the part I don't get.
I'll explain it, because I have dealt with this in practice and my own experience. I'm Jewish. 3 days after the plane crash, no, 3 days after I got home from the hospital after the plane crash, I was staying at my mom and dad's house. They'd gone to Europe, and I was in their house. God is my witness. This gold cross came flying out of the closet and hit me on the forehead, and it was like Jesus said, "Oh my God, now I'm a Jew for Jesus."
Okay.
I'm glad I made you laugh. So I threw the covers over my head, and I'm like this. Like, if you're real, show it. And a little light shone. I thought, oh my God. But then I was in Thailand, and I saw the Buddhas, and I understood, you know, Moses, and I started researching. Christianity, I once said to my dad, "Dad, do you think Jesus is the Son of God?" My dad doesn't believe in religion at all. He goes, "No more than I am." So I thought, there's another answer, because it's man-made. Jesus was a Jew. He died. Let's make a new religion. Yes, people say they're Christian, but there's so much BS out there with the Christian. It's not a Christian country. It is a company. I'm a Christian.
Yeah, good 40 slip. That's good. Yeah. I agree.
It's another, in some ways it's brainwashing, but it gives somebody to believe in. So if you think that there's a man on the cross that you can look at versus an everlasting light versus a Buddha versus a doorknob, whatever it is that it takes. But metaphysics, goes back to the start of the show, is the study of spirituality and psychology combined. Dr. Freud, Jung, who studied with Freud, was really one of the fathers of metaphysics. But if you take away religion, spirituality, which is what I'm about, has nothing to do with religion.
Yeah.
Religion's man-made. There's 3,200 religions.
Yes, I know.
We are just one with the universe. However you find it, I use butterflies as my symbol to teach people, you know, stars. And I do a poem that's a Sanskrit poem from the 1200s. I repeat it on all my shows. If you want, I'll give it to you. It's 30 seconds. This is how I see things. And I've been teaching for years. Can I say it?
Yeah.
It's because people say, "Well, what's God?" I'll say, "Well, the child whispered, 'God speak to me,' and a meadowlark sang, but the child did not hear. So the child said, 'God speak to me,' and the star shone brightly, but the child did not see. So the child said, 'God speak to me,' and the thunder rolled across the sky, but the child did not listen. So the child said, 'God, show me a miracle,' and a child was born, but the child did not know. So the child said, 'Touch me, God, show me you're real.' Whereupon God reached down and touched the child, but the child brushed the butterfly away and walked away unknowingly." So it's everywhere. It's not religion. You don't have to go to church. You're in your own temple. The body is the temple. The body is the temple to the soul. Blah, blah, blah. We're just who we are. Are we aliens? Are we energy? Are we spirit? We're souls. We reincarnate. We come in. We choose our parents. We learn weird lessons. We get beat up. We get bullied. We get made fun of. We get rejected. We get promotions. We grow. It's all about love. Life openly and vigorously expressed, L-O-V-E. And it's hard. Life is difficult. It's painful. It's a struggle.
Well,
nobody.
It's supposed to be difficult, isn't it? That's the idea.
But it's also trying to find the joy and the blessings and the sweet. It's bittersweet. So even if this is the hell, it's a hellish day, but you also have some fun and laughter and beautiful colors. And there's always tomorrow the sun comes up, or now there's two suns lately. I mean, it's just getting kind of weird out there. And, you know, now they think there's like really a spaceship and some electronics inside the moon. So we don't know if it's really a moon. No, we didn't land on the moon. It was a stage. We don't know anything anymore. We don't know anything.
There is one thing about you talking about, you know, just the living life and, you know, promotions and rejection. You know, as species, we're pretty fucking stupid, aren't we? It's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, we make the same mistakes over and over again. It's like,
well, that's just it. I was in Washington, D.C. a few months ago, and I've never been. I'd always wanted to see the Capitol and visit the White House and, you know, things that you hear. And I thought I'd go before it implodes. But what I realized when I saw the beautiful memorials for World War II, the Korean War and the Vietnam War and the Holocaust Museum, and I was in the Capitol and I was at the Supreme Court and I was at Jefferson's Library. I went through the whole thing, saw the White House front and back. Then it dawned on me whether Eisenhower's statement or Martin Luther King, they all say hope, peace, love, no more war. And all we do is have more war.
Yeah.
It doesn't change. It's just another generation with more income going out and more inflation over here and more military. It doesn't change. This is a warrior planet.
Yes.
This is not a planet for love and peace. We will never have peace on Earth, ever.
If you don't want to talk about this, Lynn, I understand, but where are you on the UFO situation regarding, like, you know, species on other planets?
We can't be the only one in the galaxy.
Of course not. No, we can't.
Well,
the reason I brought this up is because there's a lot of people, and I guess myself included, who thinks, well, the reason that they're not landing here and talking to us is because we're just freaking warriors. We kill each other. That's what we do. Look at those stupid primitives, you know?
Yeah, they probably laugh at us. I'm going to Alaska next week. I'm going to the Arctic Circle, and some of the people that are really into this, they think I'm going to feel all this energy at the Arctic Circle because, you know, all the tunnels and the aliens that live underneath the Arctic, because I want to go see the Northern Lights. Hopefully they'll be there. But I'm going to a place that most people don't, and there's supposedly life under the circle, and I'll find out what I feel, but I do believe in aliens. I know we're not alone. When I was a Girl Scout in camp, I'd be sleeping out under the stars with the counselors when I was a counselor or a camper, and I'd watch, and I'd see things spinning in the sky back in the 60s, and it wasn't a Sputnik,
yeah.
And it wasn't a star, and then it would move, so we're not alone. I think they're coming out more and more. I think a lot of cover-up in the government. Story is that's part of why they killed Kennedy. You knew. Who knows? More and more truth is coming out ever before, whether it's the trafficking or the drugs. It's an ugly place.
Address that. There does seem to be more truth coming out. And is it because of the internet? Is it just because of an awakening of the public? Do you have any thoughts on this? You know, I have a lot of journalists on the show, and we're constantly, constantly bitching about the fact that the mainstream media just lies through their teeth, and they do.
I don't know what system you're on, but I know a lot of it. If I say something on YouTube, I've been censored twice already because I would talk about the shot.
Yeah.
And
I have to tell you, this is our 92nd show. I've only been doing this for 6 months. We've already been flagged for misinformation on YouTube 5 times. So
yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
I know.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
No, don't worry about it. No, you don't worry about it. But, you know, my point is there does seem to be some conscious awakening among the public.
There's censorship. Now, I'm going to promote something I wouldn't normally do, but I just read John F. Kennedy Jr.'s book called Stolen Identity. He's alive. The John F. Kennedy Jr. we saw with Jackie O is not the real Jackie. He talks in the book how Jackie was murdered shortly after Kennedy was murdered. He said that this is in the book, so it can't be censored. It's a true fact. In his book, he says the real Donald Trump was killed in 1999 in a helicopter crash. What you and I see and what more and more people are talking about is the movie that they want us to believe, the narrative. All the major outlets have the same script. You can go to any station anytime. It's always the same. And if you start going outside the box, then you're cut. But a lot of people are tired of not knowing the truth, which is why the truth seems to be coming out in some of the alternative platforms.
Yeah.
So, yes, to answer your question, I think we're becoming more aware because of the internet, and especially since lockdown with the Zoom and the shows taking off, our lives are all on the computer now. But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you and I were growing up, I'm 2 years older than you, maybe only a year and a half. We grew up with the Jetsons.
Yeah.
They had these monitors. They had telemedical things happening because Wilma would talk to the doctor on a monitor. How did they do that back in the 60s? How did Hanna-Barbera know this? How did they have little spaceships floating around? How did the Jetsons live what we're doing now 60 years later?
Well, I could make an argument that some of that stuff's fairly easy to extrapolate, but there's one thing we absolutely don't have is that it's flying cars. Well, actually,
we're getting there.
We're going to have, they're going to have them the next couple of years. That's right. But they're way late. And you even look at like 2001, A Space Odyssey, that movie, there's a lot of stuff in that movie that hasn't happened yet, and you think it would have. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know.
Or maybe it has, and we haven't heard about it, and some of it's been suppressed.
That's well, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah.
There's so much in life we don't really know, like what's the truth and who was killed and who's really alive. I'm breaking a story on my show. Actually, we're doing it. We're pre-recording next Monday, I think.
Oh, wait, hold on. I tell you what, you don't need to don't blow as exclusive you have. But as soon after you do it, come back and tell us, okay?
All right.
How's that sound? Now, look how good I am at segueing here. So you're talking about information. You did a list called the 6 metaphysical aspects of 2024. You want to go through that? Hold it. I got it written down here.
Ask the questions because one is about.
I got it going on, you know.
The glyphosates. Glyphosates is a real big problem. The glyphosates is in our food. It's being sprayed all over the crops. The animals are being inoculated with this stuff, and we're ingesting glyphosates, more metals, heavy metals, and even the equivalent of a credit card's worth of plastic each week is what's going in our body.
Yeah.
So I promote a product with my clients and my patients to detox the body from all the schmutz out there in the air, in the food. Epidemiology, my background, is all about disease. So we are being infected, and diabetes, weight gain, addiction, lack of sleep, inflammation, arthritis, all a lot of the autoimmune system or diseases are caused by the food. A lot of people are addicted to processed foods. I'm trying to get people off sugar. I haven't had sugar and flour in 13 years. I will not eat that stuff anymore. I'm crazy enough without it. It's another drug. That I help people balance their mind, body, spirit with a nutritional product. It's on my website. I believe that there's going to be more and more hacking of the computers. Now, we've seen, even this week, Facebook, Instagram, some of the servers are down all over. My server went out for 5 days. I've been offline. It's been insane because we're so dependent on the computer. If you don't have it, it's like you lost an arm.
Right.
You know? There's threats and fears of the 3 to 10 days of darkness coming. I don't know. I'm kind of afraid of it where we won't have online or electricity. I don't know if it's true.
I want to go back to this nutrition thing you're talking about because the really interesting thing to me is that obesity's kind of been normalized. Now, when you and I were growing up, there's hardly any fat people. I mean, this is – I joke about this, but this is – probably. I guess this is probably – In my grade school, there was one fat kid, and we made merciless fun of him. But that's the reason. He was literally, there was one, you know. There were no other fat people.
No, but now everybody's large. And, and the clothing sizes, if it's a medium or a large today, it was probably a triple X when I was a kid because they keep changing the sizing, the clothing industry changes the size for the population and demographic as we grow.
Right.
Get bigger. But psychologically, I'm still in a large. Thank God, even though I'm 40 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Okay. I would love to have the body I had as a high school, college girl. I would love to look like that, but I don't. None of us do. I think, well, you're 70. That's no excuse. But the food, we don't know what we're eating in restaurants. I'm in restaurants 4 nights a week. I love dining, but I don't know what I'm eating anymore. We don't know. Look, they're putting bugs in food now. They were going to crush bugs. Gates wants no more cows killed and eat bugs. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But the glyphosates, the plastics, the heavy metals, it's all in the air. The chemtrails were being sprayed. It's on the crops. Now, Bill Gates, I don't know if you know about this, but Bill Gates, Oprah, Katy Perry, and others got together last year or 2 years ago and created a new organic spray for the crops called Appeal. Now, there's commercials on TV about which stores carry the fruits and vegetables with Appeal. It's still a contaminant. It's still poisonous because if you read the fine print, it talks about the chemicals that are in this quote organic spray. So they're spraying your fruits and vegetables and whatever else we're consuming. You can't wash it off. Remember, as a kid, your mom said, wash off the apple. You can't get that stuff off. So we're ingesting it. Digestion is all messed up. I have products that I've researched through the last few years. One's a DNA nutritional product based on your own DNA, so it's customized and clinically dosed per person. The other is a one-size-fits-all, but it's a detox over 90 days, and you will get rid of the glyphosates. I thought somebody introduced it to me last year, and I thought, oh, God, I don't want to do this. But by day 84, I said, oh, my God, I feel so good. She goes, Linda, it's 90 days. You know, there's ways to heal, and you want to heal because there's more attacks out there that we're not seeing in the food, in the drink, in the fast food. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Fast food's all chemicals. It's not real food anymore.
We're gonna
but our bodies are hurting.
On our blog for our show I'm going to put a link to your website. I want a link to the Wicks of Wisdom. Wicks of Wisdom, right? You want to talk about that? Okay. So what's the concept here?
In 1999, I was looking for candle magic to work on a guy I was dating that I wanted more information, him to emote, and nothing worked. And I knew this psychic and her candles, and nothing worked. And one of my clients said, oh, we'll call Michael downtown. So I went downtown. I did this candle, and he started emoting to the point I wanted him to shut up. But I called the guy back, and I said, these work. He goes, of course they work. So he said, why don't you come down? I'll train you. I said, why will you train me? He said, well, you're on radio. You're going to help a lot of people. Plus, you buy from me. Well, that was 1999. How many years ago? I'm still buying from him. I have my own line called Wicks of Wisdom. They were on TV in 2007. I paid Kris Jenner $25,000 before she had Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She was her first job in a long time. And she was the host of my infomercial that ran on the overnights nationwide in Canada. Wicks of Wisdom work like a prescription for your soul. It's real candle magic. It's based on Santeria and Kabbalah. I had a Jewish rabbi, a Hasidic rabbi that loved him. He's now deceased. I'm sorry I didn't get the testimony of letter from him. But it's in Kabbalah. I was studying Kabbalah with him, and there's a chapter on candles. It's called Chachma. The candle represents the soul of man in Kabbalah. The wick, when lit, is the flame, which is light, which is God. So the way I have formulas, say you need more money or you want your show to grow or you want more passion with your wife or you have a health problem. I just helped somebody in Switzerland whose doctors couldn't heal him with ultrasounds and everything. He came to me and in 2 weeks his foot was healed because the magic is in the oils, in the candles, and then I have what's called a petition, and it's how it all works. And there's magic. I can't explain how it works, but it's ancient. I've been trained, and it's become a tool to help people achieve more of what they want.
Even though you can't explain it, do you understand how it works?
I do, because I created all the, I watch it. I can't upload right here, but I've got 18 candles burning in another room right now. I have a girl in Portugal who pays me to do her work. Cheaper than sending them to Portugal. She used to live in California. She left a few years ago to retire. I have a guy in Israel. I just took an order from a girl in the Bahamas today. She's been one of my clients for 10 years because they get results. This is real stuff. I kept one girl out of jail for 20 years. She was up for a 20-year sentence. We did legal candles. She didn't go to jail. She's at the tail end of her probation, and even her attorney couldn't figure it out. But there's real magic out there if it's done right. A lot of people out there think they're doing something, and I tell people, go burn what you want. But when you are getting ripped off or you're seeing the wrong results, and come back. And I have developed a line, and I'm going to take it to another level soon and get it out there again on a bigger level because people need this now, especially with what's going on out there.
Yeah.
It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you if you follow directions. It's real.
I got a couple more questions here. Yeah. This is what I do. Okay, so... All right. When you connect with people on the other side, well, this is stupid. But how do you do it?
It's not.
How do you do it?
And I don't know.
And first of all, how do you? Okay, there's billions of souls over there. You know.
Okay, I'm different. I don't do party lines. I call them party lines where I just don't bring in. If you want John Lennon, I got to get Yoko or Sean or Julian's permission. I'm not going to just go get John.
Oh, Lennon. So you can't do that or don't want to.
I won't. But I hear him. I have heard John Lennon since he died. Jeff Porcaro from Toto has been channeling through me since 1992, August of 1992.
Did you go looking for him or did he find you?
He found me, and that's what I'm saying. A lot of strangers can become your guide. But I got into the Ouija board for years, and he would come through like my mother. There's certain questions to determine who the real spirit is. When I have a client, I don't do it much anymore. I stopped in 2018. I retired really from channeling. I'll tell you why in a moment. But I would take the person's, like, let's say you wanted to talk to your mom. So I would need her first name, first and last name, the day of her birth and the day of her death. So that when I started tuning in, I know this is them. And I would ask a question and then it would come out and you would know I'm identifying. The right side of my brain would just kind of like open up like right here and like a little beam. And I would channel, but I would get so sick. There were times, Jim, one time I haven't slept in like 3 days, and my client called us, I'm so tired, I don't know if I can do this. Oh, my husband died of sleep apnea. Another one, I was vomiting for 2.5 hours before the session. Oh, you've got my friend, she had stomach cancer.
Oh, or Jesus.
I had headaches, and I would get the brain aneurysm. I would pick up, or they would give me their symptoms.
Uh-huh.
So I knew I had them. Or I could hear the crash of a car. I could hear the bullets in Iran or the Gulf War. Or I could hear a snapping of the neck for a hanging. I have a woman's permission. It's coming out in the book. I was on the air back in the 90s, and she just asked, why did he die? I said, oh, he committed suicide. I dictated the suicide note, and it was he was angry his friend took his girlfriend. So he hung himself. He was like 21 years old. But I said, I see like Dumbo, the flying elephant. I see a basketball and I see overalls. And she knew nothing of what I meant. 2 weeks later, she called me personally. And then she mailed me the picture of her son's second or third birthday with a little basketball. He was wearing overalls and there was like a Dumbo or an elephant stuffed animal. And that's going in the book. So these testimonies of real experiences are coming in my book so I can prove it's real. I stopped channeling professionally. I was doing like 6 a day for 22 years, long before the internet,
uh-huh.
Long before it became popular. I already did it. My space had changed. My social life was nil. I still am. I'm between the spiritual world and the physical world. It's a very difficult line.
Linda, 6 of these things a day would like freaking kill you. I do this show 90 minutes 4 times a week, and I can barely stay awake.
It's a lot of energy.
Yes. Yeah. I can't. Don't even see how you do it. I don't.
No, I don't anymore. Once in a while I will, but I'm older. And I decided in 2018 not to do it anymore because I wanted my life back.
Linda, we have a phone call. I'm going to take this, okay?
Yep.
Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just looking through the shows, and this one sounded interesting.
Yeah, have you been listening to Dr. Linda?
No, I just saw her and I thought, okay, cool. And I just jumped in.
Okay. Linda?
You have a question for me, Debbie?
Yeah. I'm having a lot of anxiety. And I was just wondering if you could tell me, I'm an empath too, if I'm picking up on something.
You don't know where you're going. You're having a lot of anxiety about the future and what's going on out there. So you're not grounding yourself enough. And so the anxiety is kind of like your fears are playing a greater part as to the unknown versus staying in the moment with what is known.
Okay.
You're spiritually imbalanced. When we're spiritually out of our body, the anxiety a lot of the times is about the future, the fears and depression a lot of times about the past because we're reminiscing. It's the balance. It's real hard. I suffer from anxiety. I have panic attacks all the time because I'm out and I'm picking up stuff. And then I go, okay, today's Tuesday. What's today? And it's hard. There's so much activity out there. And we're online and we're on the phone and we're on the computer and you're in traffic. And we're so overstimulated. So you got to get quiet.
Okay.
Be so God. You got to become spiritually grounded again. And that's what I do in my private practice. I can help you. You can call me off there. I'd be more than happy. Or go to my channel. Where am I? Dr. Linda Salvin right there on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Or Debbie. Excuse me. No, you're Linda. Sorry. Sorry. My apologies.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. Hey, you said something. You're absolutely right. We're overstimulated. It's like I bitch about this constantly. My friends think I'm being funny. I'm not. It's like we're overstimulated. Everybody is. It's like.
Yeah, we've got the phones, we've got watches, we've got the computers, we've got monitors in bars and restaurants. You got people who don't be quiet. There's always a ruckus. The kids are yelling. There's no discipline. Like people are up quiet in a restaurant. Everybody's on their phone. They got the speaker on. There's so much. You know, when we were growing up, my father was in a business in electronics. Steve Jobs was a customer of my father's building Apple.
I'll be darned.
And my dad once said, Linda, I said, what? And he said, the way of the future is computers. I'm like, okay. Well, look at this. You know, that was the 70s and here we are, you know, 50 years later. And that's all we are. If we have a blackout, we go nuts.
Right. And who am I to complain? I mean, I'm here on the computer talking to you, you know, but I do have to say, when I'm not doing this, for example, I don't have any social media accounts anymore. The show does, but I personally don't. I never go on, never post, because I like sitting in a chair and staring straight ahead. I really do. I'm not kidding.
We need to unhook. We're so plugged in, and they made it that way because the dopamine rush, it hits the neurological system of addiction, which is why some of the kids growing up on Instagram and Facebook or, you know, everybody looks more beautiful than they really are because of the touch-up apps. And then you've got the real sad part of, oh, go do drugs or go commit suicide. You're really ugly or you're fat in the bullying. And then you find about the childhood or the adult suicides. There's a lot that's negative because of the positive. It's the yin-yang of everything.
Yeah,
it's just
true.
When you find your
space. It is true. Hey, I want to end with this. And you've intimated this entire conversation. So do you think there's a group of people in the world or in America who are basically trying to control the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
And why are they doing that?
I think it goes all the way back to maybe the Rothschilds to own and control the elites. Like there's the rumors that they want 80% of us gone by, 2050, and only 20% will run the planet. And, you know, but I think there's a wheel. I think there's an inner wheel. I think to become a super celebrity in politics or Hollywood, to get to a certain level, you got to follow a certain rule, and I don't want to talk about it on the air right now, but there's a portal you have to go through and kind of like sell your soul to in order to jump up out there. I also think part of it's all interrelated. Somebody's related to this one. Look, Nancy Pelosi and our governor, Newsom, they're related.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
everybody's
right.
Tied in to the next. It's all like a little family. You know, they all know each other from before. My dad has shown me a picture. He was at the golf course one time, and there was Trump, Obama, Bush, and Clinton all in one picture.
Oh, my God.
He's got it. I have to go find it. He's 95 years old this year. I got to get it before we lose it.
Yeah. So what is it about humans that we want to compute control over humans? It's like it's amazing. Because the thing is, you stop and think about it. In reality, if you're really concerned about your own self-interest, you wouldn't want to do that, you know? It has nothing to do with you.
I don't understand why they want to maybe put chips in our brains or if we've been chipped already. I don't know if it's to make us more robotic and less sensitive and desensitize us. And are we going to like have out-of-body experiences? Yes. Are we going to be abducted? I know people who claim that they have. I don't know all the answers, but I do get scared and I question it. There's people, like I was in a restaurant today and I'm looking at all these kids because right by a school, I thought, my God, when I was 13, 14, 15, we did that, but over at the other restaurant. So history, you know, I see the young people and a lot of the thoughts I may have had back then, I still have today. I do remember standing in high school looking up towards kind of like the future saying, I wonder what it's going to be like when we're in power. Well, now we know.
Yeah.
This is not walking the moratoriums for ending the war. This is not peace and love like Woodstock.
No, not at all. No, not the least bit.
It's horrible. No.
You know, and this is a political thing, but I still think it applies. You go back to January 1961, and it was the former five-star general of the armed forces.
I know,
Eisenhower, who got up and said, we have to be beware of the military-industrial complex.
And that's what it is.
He knew
plenty and more.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying
60
earlier
years ago.
That I looked when I was in D.C. a few months ago, and I saw the trend that just keeps repeating, whether
yeah.
it was World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, Gulf, Korea, and on and on and on.
Yeah. So, Linda, this is what you have to send. First of all, I want you to send me the URL where I can check out this book by John F. Kennedy Jr. Secondly, Nick, when your book comes out, when is it actually coming out?
We're in the final edit. I'm talking to the editor again on Friday. I'm still collecting a few stories. I witnessed two planes collide in midair when I was a child, and then it comes forward 23 years later. I'm in a plane crash. There's all these little pieces coming together, and then how I evolved from science to psychic. And
okay, when your book comes out, you tell your publicist, Victoria, and then you come on the show, okay?
Yeah, I think we're a few months out from actually
okay.
publishing. We're almost done.
All right, and finally, you know, we'll put links on our show blog to your Wicks of Wisdom and your website too. We'll
That'd
do that
great.
Too. This has been a fantastic conversation. I've really enjoyed talking to you very much. So
anytime.
I hope you're willing to come back. Appreciate it. Yeah, you take care. All right, we'll see you soon.
Thank you. You have a good night, Jim.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye bye. That was Dr. Linda Salvin from Los Angeles. Fascinating woman, fascinating conversation. I mean, you know, what we talked, almost 90 minutes. Unbelievable. When it went by in like a flash. So I didn't do this before. I'm going to do this now because I'm contractually obligated. We have a sponsor here, and that's Conk News. Hold on just a second. Got a little bug in the system. So this is the front page of Conk News. Conk is a news aggregator. And what they do is they take news from 75 different sources every 3 hours, and they have computers, their servers, collect that news and lay it out on the front page of their website. It's basically a one-page website. There are some other, if you look at the menu, there's some other pages, but for all practitioners, it's a one-way page website. And so the photos you see here, this is their actual front page of Conk in real time, this very second. The photos you see here are from the articles they come from. The headlines are not rewritten. And if you click on a headline or a photo, you go directly to that article. There's no interstitial pages, no ads, nothing. This is a free service. So I'm happy to say I was the editor of Conk for 3 years. It's a fantastic product. I use it all the time. I use it to prepare the show. If you're a news junkie, you can't do any better at all. Like I said, it's free, and it changes every 3 hours. You can read this at 10 o'clock in the morning, come back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I won't say that the whole page is different, but most of it is, and especially because the older news gets pushed to the bottom. So everything that's new ends up on top. So the first half of the front page after 5-6 hours is basically completely different. You can come back here 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day, and you'll see different stuff. It's really an amazing product. I hope you check it out. It's at conk.com, conk.com, Conk News. And the publisher and CEO of Conk, Jeffrey Meyer, he's going to be our guest tomorrow. He comes on once a month, and we shoot the shit, and we're damn good at it. So this has been a fantastic show. Talking to Linda has been absolutely remarkable and incredible and very enjoyable. I hope you liked it too. I hope you did. Thanks for watching. So I talked about this at the top of the show. We got kicked off of Facebook today. I don't know if we're going to get back on. I don't know if I care, really. Fuck those people. That's all I have to say. So tomorrow night, Jeff Meyer, Thursday, State of the Union. We do a panel discussion right after the State of the Union is done. We figure it's going to be about 10 PM Eastern, 9 PM Central. So that'll be, Tim Conaway, Don Zorro, and Larry Newman on the panel. Our usual month in review panel is that it was going to be. I want to thank Linda again. I want to thank Debbie for calling in. Very nice. Appreciate it. Appreciate the calls. And I'll see you tomorrow. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. See you tomorrow night.